Hey guys, and welcome to the Bright and Fit podcast. I'm so excited to be here. I'm your host, Tatiana, money and fitness professional and everyday energizer bunny. From health, wellness, and everyday life challenges and topics, the Bright and Fit podcast will discuss interesting and fun ways to reinvent ourselves at any age. I hope you can join me. Thank you so much for joining me again. This is Tatiana. I'm your host, and this is the Bright and Fit podcast. I'm super excited that you guys are tuning in again. In today's episode, I have my friend Christina Hart, female fitness and business entrepreneur, and I cannot be more excited to have her. She has a lot of stuff that I feel like you guys will find super useful, and I hope you enjoy it. Hi, Christina.
Hello. Hi, Tati. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Such a pleasure. So today we're going to talk about female in fitness and in business. My friend Christina and I, we've known each other for about 6 years, I would say.
Yeah, ever since I started Zumba.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about fitness and business. So I want to ask you a few questions. Of course, I want you to be yourself and share with our listeners anything and everything that can benefit them and that can bring some health and wellness, education, as well as business-wise, because I know that there's a lot of people out there that it may be an area of expertise that they want to explore, and I think they're gonna have fun with this episode, right?
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Okay, so tell me who Christina Hart is. Tell me about
Okay. So it's funny, when people think of me, they're always, the first question is, what is she up to now? Because pretty much I am that type of person that loves new opportunities. I love to see what else is out there, meet new people, and see like what the going trend is. So that is me. So I am a mother and a wife. I have a wonderful husband and a son who is 15 years old. He is on his way to become a pro surfer. And I love supporting that. And the benefit to being a mom of a pro surfer is we travel. So our goal is to catch the waves with him and support him and travel the country and travel the world once things start opening up. And I think it's just fun. I think the best part of that is just seeing different parts of the world and learning about other cultures and other people. So, and then personally for me, I love fitness and I love business. So you're talking to the right person.
Yay, so excited. Yes. So Christina, tell me where you're from, where your family's from, where you grew up, besides being in fitness and your business, which we're going to talk about both in a little bit.
Tell okay.
me who you are as a person, your heritage, your background.
So my parents are from China, both of them, and they came to the United States when they were like 16, 17, and actually they met in California. So, and you wouldn't believe it, but they met at a dance club. So that's how they met. And my dad is actually, in his teens, he was a performer. He, like back in that days, I would say like 60s, 70s, like rock star. He was the lead singer of a band. So my musicality comes from him. And my mom loves to dance as well. And I was born in Queens, New York.
So your parents are from China. They emigrated from China to the US, to California.
Mm-hmm.
And why did they immigrate?
I think it's the typical, you know, American dream, looking for work, looking for a way to, be safe and grow a family and have a good job. But yeah, it's pretty much the sisters, the siblings, everyone, you know, moved over here and found a lot of opportunity in New York City. So that's where most of the jobs were and they were based out of. And I was born in Queens.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. I think that when we speak about our generational heritage, we have to mention, you know, that important piece of who we are and where we come from. So, but you know, we've had many conversations, but I am from Nicaragua. I was born and raised in Nicaragua, and I've shared this in my first episode. I moved and immigrated to the U.S. when I was 17 years old.
Ah, okay.
My parents moved to California when they were in their teens as well?
Yeah.
Wow. And how was the experience for you getting to be raised in a Chinese family, to say something? But you were born here, so you are in a mixed, right?
Yes. Okay, so the growing up with a mix of cultures was not easy, because I was born obviously in America and wanting to be like American. Like, American came before Chinese, even though my parents are hardcore Chinese traditional background, old school. Oh. So it's funny, even my mom till this day has trouble speaking English, so her primary language is Chinese. And, you know, she tried her best to give us the culture, which I do have, but, you know, I would be like that young girl, like, no, like, this is what the American girls do. And like, you know, I want blonde hair, I want blue eyes.
Yeah, is the epitome of that, you know, fashion and celebrity.
Yeah.
LA.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so did you go to school in California and then in New York?
Oh, no. Went to school. So in New York, I was a baby. And then we went to Olympia, Washington, just for a little bit. And then most of my upbringing was in New Jersey. So I'm a true Jersey girl. Didn't come to Florida maybe like 8 years ago. So all my life was in Jersey.
So, okay. So that's a lot of traveling.
Yeah, and I continue doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. So how are you as a mom? What kind of mom are you?
Oh, my God. Okay.
Was a traditionalist. She is the structure of the family. You know how you have your kind of like your yin and yang in your
yeah
family?
Yeah. I would say I'm not the typical mom. And it's funny, like when I was younger and my son was like 5 or 6 and there would be like, you know, like those mom groups, they drove me crazy. And hopefully I don't offend anybody, but when the mom groups could get together, it's like they would talk about like the different baby products and how they're putting their baby to sleep and like all these things. And I'm like, where's the drinks? Like, let's like talk about like having fun. Let's go out dancing. Like, I just wanted to like be free, you know? And I wasn't so concentrated in like being like super mom. I just know as long as my son is happy and he's fulfilling his dreams, I'm doing a good job. I'm kind of like hands off. And I don't know if that's partially because of my son's personality. He was very easy to get along with. So very hands off. I'm kind of like, you know, do what you gotta do. I'm there to support you. Let's have fun. You're my friend, but I'm also your guidance as well. But then, you know, when stuff goes wrong, don't get me wrong, I could definitely discipline you. So we've gone there too. So, but I would say I'm a cool mom.
Don't we all want to be the cool mom? It's important that you mention that part of the upbringing that you are showing your son is your mom was the structure, your dad was the cool dad, but you also have a little bit of both.
Yes.
Still, when it comes to your son, because you are the cool mom, which your cool part was your dad, right?
The music, yeah,
the fun. And then your mom is the one, okay, let's get things done so we can be successful.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a mix. I would say my husband is maybe cooler. But I think it's because of, like you said, the upbringing. Definitely I think my mom was like super strict, and my mom was also a stay-at-home mom, so her parental influence was big on me. But yeah, Damon's super cool too, so I have to admit, so.
And you went to school, you were telling me, in New York.
New Jersey.
So yeah. Washington for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
You moved to New Jersey where you grew up and then moved to Florida, right?
Yes. Yep.
What was your education on?
So are we talking about like younger or like college or?
College.
Okay. So, which is really funny. So talking about like strictness, I never wanted to go to college. Like I knew like when I was 12, I know myself, I am not an academic type of person. I'm not a reader. When people ask, I'm more of like, I probably love podcasts. I love Audible. So I'm more of like a listener and visual YouTuber. Like I like learning that way, like TEDx and stuff like that. So I'm not a reader and I never was into academics, but my parents, you know, typical Asian parents, go to school, become a doctor, become an accountant, like really boring stuff for me. And I'm like, no, but you know, my parents were very strict. They're like, well, if you're not going to do this, then you have to like go get a job. We're going to take away your car. We're going to take away like basically your financials. I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'm going to school. So I just randomly picked business management. You know, I just thought, okay, I'm going to pick that. And focus on human resources, just because I like people and I like learning about people. And it's funny, the major that I excelled in was training, human resource in terms of like training employees. So I actually winded up doing corporate human resources for about 15 years before I got into fitness professionally.
So like onboarding, like—
Yes, yep.
What?
Yep. Yeah. I was the girl like, welcome to blah, blah, blah. And I would do an 8-hour presentation of, you know, filling out your new hire paperwork and talk about the company rules and policies. And
yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's funny that you mentioned, because I have a business degree as well. I went to college for business. But it's funny how you mentioned that you have to go to school. So you basically ended up complying to your parents and went to school without the thinking that it was going to benefit you in the future, right?
Yes. It's kind of like it comes full circle. I'm like, it's so funny. I, you know, there are parts of the job that I did like, but I wasn't happy, to say the least, doing a 9-to-5 job. Like I wanted to get out of it. But at the same time, when I'm doing my current business now, I'm very grateful of the experiences that I've had, you know, being in front of a group of people, talking to people, learning to be professional. I think that's very important if you want to be an entrepreneur. So I am grateful for the corporate years.
I ask you about that because I think it's important to mention our mentality before education, once you get the resources in education, and then once you get into the world of being a business owner. So you went to school, you graduated, you got this job for 15 years, and then you said, guess what? I'm not doing this anymore.
Yes, I had like a huge aha moment. So I would say I was like on the verge of depression, even though people didn't see it. And like you said from the beginning, I am the type of person, when I go into something, I go hardcore. I want to be the best. I want to be number one. And that actually winded up happening. I was climbing up that corporate ladder to the point where I was traveling to different facilities, and I was like their go-to person, winning awards and all that stuff, to the point I knew if I wanted to, I could become the director. And I kind of saw it though, but I'm like, do you really want to do that for the rest of your life? And I just, you know, put my hands up and I'm like, no, I don't. And I had a talk with my husband. I'm like, I'm going to give my 2-week notice. And it was a shock to everybody. And I just said, I'm not done with dance. So just rewind really quick, before signing up for college, I told my dad, I want to go to Juilliard, which is a big dance school in New York City.
Juilliard.
And he was like, no, that is an absolute no. You cannot make money doing that. So don't even think about it. But in college, I was part of a dance team. And so I always had it in my life. And I felt like I'm not finished with it. And it makes me happy, you know?
Go further, because that's my next question.
Yes.
I want to know, and everyone wants to know, because there's so much just in the few minutes that we just shared. There's so much about you that is so interesting. So how did you start your fitness journey? So you mentioned that you were, you know, thriving and doing so great, and then you were about to become a director, and then you had that aha moment. So what was the trigger? What was the trigger for that? Did you have a plan before you put your 2 weeks notice?
I did not. that's who Christina is. I did not have a plan. I just was fed up, and I was like, I was overweight, I was eating unhealthy, I was just coming home angry, sad. Not relating to my son, didn't have time for family. I just came to a point where, like, if I don't do something different right now, it's like bound for something very dark. I didn't want that to happen.
Yeah.
So I just quit. And even like my coworkers were like, what is going on? Everybody was shocked. And actually some of them were upset that it was just, I just dropped a bomb on them, but I just knew I had to do it for myself. And I was in Riverview at that time, and I started taking local Zumba classes, and still friends with those instructors. And I was just loving taking the class. And some of them were like, you know, you could do this too. And
was this before? So your HR job was in Florida or in New Jersey?
It started in New Jersey, and then they transferred me to Florida.
Okay, so then yeah. In Florida, you continue having that burden in your heart. And you mentioned that the biggest impact was the physical, the emotional, and the psychological, right?
Yep.
It was pretty much draining you. And so you come to a point where it's too much, it's piled up and piling up and piling up. It's like, okay, I need to do an internal evaluation and say, do I really want to continue in corporate America jobs, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. So
yeah.
Then, so you started your fitness journey, you moved to Riverview, and then 2 weeks notice. So what was day one for Christina?
As day
woman.
To be honest, it was like, oh shit, what did I just do? Because I was making, you know, really good money, and it was my experience, it was my college degree, it was, you know, my 10 years, my 15 years, like the progression, I just put it in the garbage like really quick. So I'm like, oh my, and I had no professional experience in dancing, like starting literally from the, I wasn't even certified. Like I was starting from the bottom. Okay. So it was scary.
In that job that you had, you were making good money.
Yep.
Was it 2-digit, 3-digit?
It was like 70, 75K.
What?
Yeah. Okay. And with bonuses and all that stuff. So yeah.
Well,
but you know what, that money sounds great because you think money could solve everything, could solve your happiness, but it really can't.
Ooh,
it can't.
That's an important point.
Yeah.
And you started your fitness journey because one day you were just thinking about something to do, and you attended a dance class, and then you liked it. And of course, you said your dad was part of a dance team and a performer in California, which I'm sure you grew up seeing, right?
perform. Yeah, and like growing up was always the music blasting. You know, it wasn't particularly Zumba music, but it was, you know, the Beatles, the Mamas and the Papas, which is probably why I relate to my senior fitness class. I knew all the great songs from the 60s and 70s because my dad would play it all the time, like super loud in the house.
Wow.
Yeah.
You were listening to music and then the musicality and the dance came out later.
Well, the dance was there in my childhood because, you know, you would take those classes like at 10 or, you know, ballet. I took ballet, I took hip hop. And the thing that I didn't like about those classes is I wanted to be the choreographer. Like I
done it wrong. Let me do something about this.
Yes. Let me, that's not hip hop. Like, no, like I wanted to like have a part of being the creator because I like creating things. So then when I came into contact with what Zumba was about and that it does help you with, you know, the songs and the choreography, but then you could do your own stuff in it and choose your own music. I was instant, like I'm in, I want to do it.
Be there and I want to do that.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Funny thing is my episode number one, which we were discussing earlier, talks about how I got into fitness and how my parents, my mom influenced in that, where we were just dancing in the living room to old recordings and CDs of Zumba and VHS and all the good stuff. But I do remember my mom always had, you know, Latino community, Latino music.
Yep.
Saturday morning cleaning.
We had yep.
She was more inclined to the old school, kind of like Paul Anka and Queens and all the good stuff that I yep. know because of her. What generation are you?
What do you mean? Like,
I'm a millennial.
See, I'm like the awkward one that's right before. That's the generation that's forgotten. Like, I don't even know what it's called.
Gen Z?
Yeah, like I was born in 79.
Okay. What yeah. So awkward?
I think it's because we're like the people that were raised with like the immigrants that came to the United States, and then we were first American born. And then, you know, we're in between of being like raised with the strictness and the culture and everything. And then underneath us is the millennials that are like learning the new stuff, and they're awesome and they're fast and they're cool. And we're kind of like, we're like stuck. Like we're the ones that are like, okay, like, do I go this way or do I go that way?
Yeah, you're like, I'm trying here. I know a lot about a lot. I don't know about the future.
Yeah, like we're in between. And I guess it's a good thing too, because I feel like I could relate to the seniors, but I could also relate to the younger generation. So I guess it's a benefit.
Same. I think one of the biggest motivators is that you can unite people of all ages with music and dance. That's it, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you this question because I want to know the perspective that my guests in my podcast have of me. So what memory you have of Tatiana?
Okay, so let's get real, right? No, nothing bad. But you understand the Zumba community. There is a mix of people that are friendly and not friendly. You see where I'm getting at? Okay. So when I got into the community, luckily I was embraced by great people. And then, you know, your community gets bigger, you go to Zumbathons, you meet more instructors, and then you're like, oh my God, you know, like that girl is this, that, and then you hear the gossip and...
Tell me that I was mean to you because I'm
ready. No. So now the wall is built. So whenever I meet a new instructor, I'm kind of like, oh God, you know, I'm not going to trust anybody. So, but as soon as I met you, and I think we met at Shapes for our big grand opening, and I loved you. I think you were real. I think you were genuine, and I felt your positivity, and I knew you weren't fake. So I was comfortable with you.
Yay.
So yeah, which is, I'm telling you right now, that's very hard to say. It's probably like one out of five people all the time.
Well, guess what? I have a good memory of you, and the first memory that I have is you wearing. I think you had a bob at the time.
Yeah.
You were wearing teeny tiny shorts. Almost.
Yeah, that's me.
Cheeks, and I'm like, oh hey girl, what's up? Because you were rocking your style. You were so confident. You came, you did your thing, and then I remember this very special moment where we had this twerking class. what was the name of that class? We had a class.
When I did with Nancy?
We did that with several instructors.
Oh, I don't remember, but yeah, we do a lot of twerking classes together.
Or it was like a four instructor class. And you were coming with freaking, I think you were wearing knee braces.
Yeah.
Ready to twerk. And I'm like, okay then. And then it was such a fun time. And I'm like, wait a minute. She is so nice. Like you were always smiling, really. You're always kind. And then I noticed something important. You always address people, and you stopped and you looked at the person and you listened to the person while you were smiling and actually listened to them. And that is really difficult as instructors. And
yes.
I feel like it's an acquired skill, right?
Yes.
And I think that we connected more because we're both bubbly, we're so people friendly, like,
yes,
people person, and we instantly clicked. So that's great. I was getting ready to say, was I mean to you? Was it?
No. And I think the great thing about you is like you're a person to watch. So I feel like I should have mentioned this to you like a long time ago when we first met, but like you could see your drive. Like I think everyone could see, like, you want so much more out of life, even though there may be things that are stopping you or having rough times or whatever, but you have like a drive, and it's to the point where I know you're gonna get it. So when you told me about this podcast, I'm not surprised. I know, and even like, I think I saw something recent, like maybe like a Zumba class you were doing in Crunch, I think. It looked like Crunch. I haven't been there, but I saw your performing, because that's what I do. And I'm like, even that, not that even you were bad, you were so good back then. Even your Zumba instruction is 10 times better. Like I could just see like, how your body moves and everything. Oh my God, I was just like, you're gonna be like, what are those people called? Like the famous Zen people?
Zest?
Yeah, you're gonna be one of those.
Telling me I need to quit my job and put my 2 week notice.
Yeah, just do it, don't worry.
Okay. Okay, so I have more questions, and I know that we have a lot more to cover. This is so much fun, and I want to absorb it all and, of course, get to a point where we can share more, laugh more, but also learn more. How did you start in your business that you have today? Because you told me that you left a corporate job, you started the fitness, and then you became a fitness instructor, which you still are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you became a business owner. Your own boss. So tell me how the both of the fitness and the business started, and what have you accomplished that you feel like?
Okay, so I've always had a love of, you know, owning my own business. My husband has owned his own business for a long time, so I've always helped him out with that. I just like the idea of being my own boss and having my own creativity, my own hours, flexibility, and all that. So that's like a big thing. I think no matter what, and I usually like to help people that are interested in going that avenue, because I think it's just so self-fulfilling. So with fitness, what happened was I had another aha moment. So I felt like, you know, when I was in Riverview, I was just full-time fitness instructor and personal trainer. And I just had a moment where I'm like, I want more. Like,
what was your expertise in teaching fitness-wise, and what was your certification in personal training?
So it started with Zumba, and then, you know, worked my way up in getting certified in pretty much everything else, from like weight training, boot camp, active aging. And then I fell in love with one-on-one. So then I got certified in SCW personal training, and focused more on the active aging. That was a big surprise to me, because our manager and noticed that how I connected well with that generation. And I'm like, oh no. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think that's going to be fun. Like, I just had like a block about that, because I never thought about that. And she's like, no, I think you would be really, really good at that. So I got into it, and I'm so glad that she did. I call her one of my mentors, and I'm so blessed that she, you know, pointed that out to me. So yeah, my focus for personal training was in active aging, which is 55 and up.
So when you started teaching the active agers, how do you feel that kind of like connected with your parents? Like, did you feel like you find more gratifying the fact that you could help somebody because that's in you as a person?
I see the difference in terms of with my parents. It's more like connecting with a generation that is wanting to be in fitness for their health. So I'm not trying to say anything bad for anyone that's under 55 or in their 20s and 30s, but most of the time when I are with that generation, the younger generation, they want a bigger ass. They want sexy legs. They want to go like this, right? I fell in love with active aging because they want to survive. They want to get healthy. They want to be able to walk without falling down. They want to be able to get up without any pain. And it like really touched me. I'm like, that is what is most important. And it was amazing to give them that benefit and that feeling like, yeah, I can get up. I can feel good about myself. I can reach over and grab like the milk up really high without any pain in my shoulder. And I don't have to feel like I'm old.
Yeah, and have you ever considered how that fitness and the care for the active agers will take you to more like a route of a physical therapist, to kind of like a health, more like professionally health oriented, like a therapist, kind of like a coach for them in that sense?
I thought about it, but I don't know. I didn't go towards it because it's the music that's pulling me back. Like, I still want to do the choreography and work with the music. I see physical therapy as a corporate job. Okay. So I was just like, I don't know about that.
That's a really good point. Because you can, in this job, you can incorporate the both.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So, then what happened was with the business, how you said you wanted more. Was it like money wise or was it like career wise that you wanted to start the other business, which we're going to
I would say career wise. And I did. So what happened was I did venture out and not working for gyms. And I had my own, I guess, private personal training where I would go to people's houses and train at their home. And also I teach my classes through Zoom. So privately, I work for myself in terms of fitness now. And I just wanted to meet more people, and I was missing the coworker part, if that makes sense, because obviously I'm not working at a gym. I wanted to grow with other people and have a community with other women that wanted more in life too. So I literally researched the internet like for days, like what can I do and what can I join where I could find community, but still be my boss, where I don't have to go 9 to 5 and I could work from home and make money, you know?
That was when?
That was maybe, I would say two, 2 years ago.
Okay, so yeah, the end of 2019 or beginning of 19.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Very recent.
Okay. Yeah.
So with the whole fitness in your new business, which you research and we're about to talk about that, how's the money doing?
It's doing good. Now, I have to say, it's not easy. There is work to be done. So
it's not, I think it's, okay.
No, I think it's when you run your own business, I think the hardest part is you have to get up for you. If you want to get paid, you have to do the work. So it's not like, and I know, I remember my corporate days. There'll be days I'll be like talking to my friends all day. And yeah, you still get paid for that day. Not when you're a business owner. If you want to be watching TV all day and like talking to your friends, you're not going to get that money. It's not like a salary. Yes. Yes. So you're kind of like, I went through those moments in the beginning, like, oh, like, I really do have to like do stuff every day.
Money doesn't come to me. Oh.
Yeah. And it's funny, like I always tell my team, you can't post and pray. So a lot of our business is done in social media and they're like, okay, I'll just like post and I'm gonna make like, you know, $100 from that. Like, nope, doesn't work that way.
Saying that I will share with you, it says that if you want to be an entrepreneur woman, like a business, you know, female in business, you have to chase money until money stops running and chases you.
Yes. Yep. So true.
Right?
So true.
Business that you started.
It is activewear. So I thought it was perfect when I found it. I was like, I'm gonna make sure I find something that I could relate to and I wanna be in it for many, many years. And when I came across it, and actually my mentor in that industry, I had a talk with her and to see like, you know, if it was right for me. And it was, because I love fitness. I know fitness will never go away, even though I'm not gonna make it as my main source of income. I think working out and everything is so important. I love taking other people's classes. I love learning about how to, you know, move my body and stay healthy. But I'm always wearing activewear every single day.
That's pretty much what you're looking for. So you're like, oh, how about instead of me paying for it, I actually get it for free?
Yes.
Happy. That's insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take a brief pause and we'll be right back to share more fun and exciting stuff. This is the Bride and Fit podcast. You guys, hang on. We'll be right back. Welcome back, my following, amazing, beautiful listeners of the Bride and Fit podcast. We're back. Are you there?
Yes, yes, yes.
Awesome. So in part one, we were talking about the importance of fitness, and then we transitioned to the business part, which we were wearing, or we wear, I don't know how much clothing you wear that's fitness related, but I feel like I should have like a closet for just my fitness outfits. Uh-huh. And my regular everyday outfits, which are not a whole lot.
Yep. So, and now with activewear, you can dress it up, you know, wear it casual business or even like a girl's night out. So
that's amazing. So the business name is
Actively Ever After.
Okay. And the girl is from where?
Zaya.
And that is produced where?
The actual clothes? The clothes are produced in all different countries. They did it that way so that, you know, we could help out different countries and all that, but it's not like me specifically. It could be like the United States or Colombia or Brazil or Germany. It's like everywhere.
Wow, it's amazing. Okay, so how was your life 5 years ago versus now?
Okay, so 5 years ago, was I still, I think I was, my main focus was fitness. And I I think I was transitioning actually out of Riverview and I moved over to the beachside area on the east coast of Florida. So that part of my life was very crazy. You know, honestly, I was at a point where I didn't know what I was going to do with my life, but I think I needed that. I needed the space. I wasn't working. I was just mainly traveling with my son and traveling to different beaches and, you know, just trying to figure out what my next move was. I was burnt out with fitness because I believe I taught about 25, 30 classes a week. So I was burnt out. I to the point where I'm like, I don't want to do anything fitness right now.
Oh, wow. You know?
I'm just walking on the beach for my workout.
What year?
Oh, wow. So 5 years ago, 2015, 2016.
It has to be because I know I met you and then you quickly transitioned out. And I'm like, wait, to the beach? Why? I love working out with you. I love it. We were always in so much synchrony when we danced together.
Yeah, we're gonna do it again soon.
Yeah, we really do. So you're teaching the active agers and they also purchase your fitness apparel.
Yes. Yep.
Yay, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to the fitness, right? How would you describe yourself as an entrepreneur woman?
Okay. I like to gravitate towards people that are real and genuine. So it's funny, when I first started and I saw pictures of some women, and even not even with my company, like if you see like a Nike ad or something and Fabletics and these women are like sports models, fitness models, like I don't have a six pack. So I got very intimidated. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. But then I came to the realization that there's other women just like me, that like to eat, that are proud of their bodies. And we all have different shapes and sizes that I'm like, you know what, I want to represent that too. And I don't want to be afraid of who I am anymore. So
you can describe yourself as a very down-to-earth, compassionate entrepreneur, fitness, and businesswoman.
Yes.
Did I nail it?
Yep, exactly.
Great. I have not had my only opportunity to actually get involved with the elder community, with the active agers and active learners, is volunteering. But not
okay.
Related. I used to volunteer at a living facility in Arkansas, where I used to live. But because of the type of community that it was, I wasn't able to offer them fitness classes. What we were doing is a group of us, which then it ended up being myself and my children, or my oldest at the time, my only one at the time,
is yeah.
coming, and we were doing their nails.
Oh yeah,
we were doing their hair, we were singing, we were playing bingo and playing cards, but I always wanted to teach a fitness class. Always. It's been kind of like the older generation and the younger generation that has caught my attention so much.
Oh yeah,
I have not been able to be involved particularly in that fitness
yeah.
industry, you know?
Well, I think it's amazing. It actually, I think, will even broader your mind even more because it's totally different. So when you're dealing with that generation, you also have to take their criticism. So that generation is very critical.
No filters. Yeah.
There's no filter, but then it's so funny. It's no filter, but you feel the love at the same time. So I remember when I first started teaching and I had the music very loud and they're like, oh my God.
Yes.
They're like, are you trying to kill us?
We used you know? To be like, it's a party. You're supposed to be done. Remember? No, you're here.
Yeah.
We'll has decreased significantly.
I mean, it's to this day where like sometimes I'll pick a song, they're like, no, I don't like that song, or I don't like that dance move. Like, they tell you. So it's like the song that they would, I would play, and they would tell me like right then and there, oh, can you change the song, or can you change the dance moves, or I don't like that song. And you're kind of like, whoa. But the other generation wouldn't tell you that.
But okay, it's your class.
Yeah. But it's all good fun. And I love the honesty. They're just being honest, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So the next question I have is, what makes you proud of yourself?
Wow. Okay, so that's a big one. So I don't know if this was one of your questions, but I was thinking about it because someone else asked me. They asked, tell me something that nobody knows about you. No. So that
I'm gonna ask you, don't go there.
Okay, but that comes into what makes me proud of myself.
Go ahead and tell them. Start speaking Spanish. Do you have a niece, by the way?
No, I don't.
I was gonna say, so. Entonces dale, go ahead.
I probably know or understand more Spanish than Chinese.
I believe that.
I listen to more Spanish music than Chinese music.
I've heard you sing. So what is that? What makes you proud of yourself? That is also related to the other question.
Okay, so when I thought about that, I'm like, oh my God, should I just be cheesy and be like, oh, I like to cook, or I love my dogs? But I'm like, you know what? This is Tati's show, and I'm gonna give her everything.
Dude.
So, and it's actually most recently when I've met a few people that see me on social media or some of my friends. Recently, they came up to me and told me, oh my God, your posts are perfect. You live like the perfect life and you're just awesome. You're like having a great time. And I kind of felt like, no, like my life is not perfect. And I was kind of like upset, like that's how I'm portrayed. And when I'm all about realness and being genuine. So what I wanted to talk about is the one thing that people don't know about me is for many, many years, I would say since my teenager years, I suffer from anxiety and depression, and it's a real thing. And I feel like it needs to be talked about and not, I didn't want to bring it about because I didn't want it to be like awkward for people, but I feel like there's a lot of people that go through that and don't know who to talk to about it. So
that's incredible. I would have never guessed that about you. So it makes
yeah.
you proud to be yourself without actually lying about it.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, this is like strange, but like I feel like when people have anxiety and depression, it's hard to talk about it because it's kind of embarrassing, and you don't want to show yourself as a weak person, a person that has problems. But I've learned that it's not a problem. That's just something that I work through every day in my life. And it's not like it's going to go away. It's just doing things to manage it. And a lot of it is how you feel about yourself. So it's your self-talk, it's affirmations, it's what you're doing to grow your mentality of how you feel about yourself. So the pictures that you see of me posting the activewear and talking about my business and my progress, that on the background took work of me even wanting to be on camera. You know, way back in the day, I hated the way that I looked. I hated my body. I hated my face. I hated my hair, like everything, to the point where when it was time to take pictures, I made sure I stood behind everybody.
Wow.
You know? So it's, people don't know that. They think, oh my gosh, you're so comfortable on the camera. You look so good. And that's not how it was. You know, I literally like did not like myself. But it took like work, and like that's what I'm proud of. Like I actually pushed through and learned about myself and accepted myself to build to where I am now. Yeah, but people don't see that because it's, you know.
To that, what is your fitness routine? What is your morning routine? Because you talked about self talk. You talked about, you know, motivational, you know, building yourself up to where you are.
Okay, so I first started doing affirmations. So if you don't know what affirmations are, it's making maybe 10 statements about positive stuff about yourself, particularly things that you want to work on. So it could be something deep like, why do people love me? Why can I show love to my son? Or why am I a great success in my company? So it could be words like that. But now I'm actually, in terms of growing, I actually do go to a hypnotherapist. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
I have. Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay, super cool. My husband actually found and researched this information, and we found a really great one in our area. So hypnotherapy is a technique of getting to your subconscious mind and telling you those affirmations subconsciously, which is like really powerful, because honestly, sometimes when I hear those affirmations, I would say to myself, I would self-doubt and be like, no, I'm not pretty. I'm not this. Like I would fight it.
Yes.
Because I'm awake to it, you know?
Fighting with your conscious mind is fighting with your unconscious mind.
Yes. So a hypnosis, what they do is they go in as you're relaxing and go into the subconscious. And same idea, you know, we worked into detail on what I want to grow upon and build my confidence in different areas. So I have a recording that I listen to at night. I press play, you know, this is through my therapist, and you know, she counts down. I literally knock out.
Wow.
And it's going through me subconsciously.
Well, is that it? I would like to know if there are resources out there, free resources for our listeners to try it.
Well, I would say just look up hypnotherapy. It's pretty much available. The therapists are just hard to find. But just, you know, do your research, find the reviews. Most of them give you a consultation first. Just make sure you could connect with that particular therapist. And a lot of them have different techniques too. And just see what works for you. I know like my husband likes to do his hypnotherapy like in the morning because he meditates. I haven't gotten to the point of meditating yet.
Morning person, is that what it is? You can't relax in the morning?
Yeah, yeah. As soon as I get up, I'm on the go. I'm not listening. I got stuff to do.
I knew it. He is probably the opposite. So he feels more connected with himself when he is meditating in the morning as opposed to in the evening.
Yeah, I'm like, how do you meditate? You just woke up. Like,
literally meditating in your sleep.
Yeah, that's me. Okay.
So I have some really, really quick questions because time is crunching, but there's so much more that I want to know. In simple statements, tell me, what are three things that you are most excited about?
I am most excited about in the next couple months. Talk about getting into something new.
Whoa, ready.
My husband and I and my son are going to be full-time RVers.
What?
Everybody's like, that's the first time everyone's going to be hearing that.
As well. You're going to have a channel and all that?
I haven't decided, but you know, that ties into like our travels and stuff. So typically in the summer, we go to California anyways for like months because the waves are really good over there as compared to Florida. So we've been traveling everywhere anyways. So I'm like, you know what? Let's just, you know, put it on the road and let's go. But
the other two things here I'm most excited about.
I'm excited about my business, growing my team and where the activewear is going to take me. I think when COVID hit, that was another aha, like, oh my gosh, how am I going to make money? Especially with like the fitness, a lot of classes were closing down. So I knew I had to do something with this business to keep it going. And I just got excited. And from the beginning of 2021, I've been hitting my bonuses and just being hardcore and just going all the way to the top. It's funny. It's like you have those rainy days so that you could get that rainbow. Like, you have to have those days that suck. You really do, for you to push.
You said this earlier. You said that one of the hardest things about being an entrepreneur woman was you have to show up for yourself.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. How would you like to be remembered?
That's funny. I think I would like to be remembered as someone that is down for whatever, if that makes sense.
You said you were a hands-on mom, so you want to be remembered as on the go.
Always
trying to better yourself.
Yes. And I think life is so, so short, to the point where if you have an opportunity to do something for yourself and for your family, don't wait. Like, do it now. Like, if my son said he wants to go to, I don't know, Australia, guess what? We're going to do whatever it takes to get there. Like, there's no, I don't like to have a hesitation or like, oh, I don't know, like worry this, worry that, and have all this self-doubt. Just do it. Just go for it. If that's what you want, go for it.
Live with passion, pretty much.
Yes. Yep.
That's exciting. So, quick question for you. Is there something you'd like to know about me?
Ooh, I want to know, what does your future hold? What are your plans? I know something's coming up. I feel it.
Yeah, so how can I say this? How can I tell everyone without telling everyone? Let me think about this. Okay. So right now I am a part-time fitness instructor. I have classes every day. I train a person. Also, I have a client, and I have a couple private groups of people that I teach in person. And then I also am, of course, trying to get my podcast going on. It's something that I've always wanted to start. On the road to becoming more personal trainer oriented, kind of like separate my career from being a banker, right? Uh-huh. To become a full-time entrepreneur as well. So
yeah,
more in the cooks.
Yeah, I definitely see it. It's coming. So,
and the next thing happens, you'll be the first one to know.
All right.
So I have, of course, we are running out of time, but we have to do this again. We're going to have to get you back on this podcast with another topic or on a series of female entrepreneurs in business. And I have 2-3 more questions for you. What is your greatest fear? How do you manage your fear?
Let's see. My greatest fear is probably failing. And I think it's because I do jump into new opportunities very quickly, that sometimes there's no plan going into it. But that, I know that's me, that's my personality, and that's a lot of reasons why I'm successful too, because there are people that are scared to even take the jump. But I am scared of failure, just because I want to be inspiring to other women and let them feel like they could do it too. But if I fail, I gotta pick myself back up and show you. So I kind of feel like I don't want to be a letdown to the people that are following me.
So you feel like a social responsibility to inspire other women?
Yes. Okay. Yep.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So my last but one question is, what is the key driving force to become a female entrepreneur?
The key driving force, and I hope it doesn't sound selfish, because I know a lot of times some people say it's my kids, it's this and that, it's my family, is me. It really is. It's, and I think that ties into the anxiety and depression. It's how I feel about myself. So when I'm an entrepreneur, I feel powerful. I feel like I'm capable of doing whatever my heart desires. So that driving force is to also inspire women that do go through anxiety and depression and they feel like they don't have the capability to be strong. I want them to know, like, yes, you do. Like, if I could do it, so can you. So,
yeah. And my last question to wrap it up, I don't want to let you go because I really want to talk for like days. My last question is, give me some very good tips or advice that to give our listeners who would like to start an online business or venture in a new fitness journey.
Okay, some tips. Number one, schedule. So when you are working by yourself, no one is going to tell you what to do. You're not going to have a boss. You're not going to have coworkers. So you really do have to schedule your time wisely, especially if you're working from home. So that also means, you know, making sure you make time for your family. You actually put family time, you know, even though people think it's like all around us every day, you actually put a slot in for that. So schedule is number one. Number two, even though you are an entrepreneur and you have your own business, you do not work by yourself. So what I mean by that, you have to find a mentor. So a mentor could be someone else that has the same type of business or someone else that you look up to that has experienced the ups and downs of the business and could help you with that. And I would say number three, in terms of being an entrepreneur, is self-development. You're going to hit days where you're going to say, why did I do this? I'm so stupid, or I should go back to corporate. You're not going to make instant money just like that. You have to really like learn about yourself and why you want to do it and what's going to motivate you to keep doing it, because there are going to be many, many, many days you want to quit. It's totally different than a corporate job, you know, but then the benefits of an entrepreneur, I think, is amazing and super huge, but you have to come to the realization that it's totally different. Like, you are working for yourself and nobody else. But what better way to do, you know, to live? You know, why do you want to work for someone and make them millions when you could actually work for yourself and make yourself millions?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for being on the Bright and Fit podcast. I feel like they have gotten a precious, precious time with you and everything that you share with us. And I'm truly, truly happy to call you a friend first.
Aww.
And I am very, very proud of you.
Oh, thank you very much, Tati. And I love you so much. And I am proud of you too. I see everything that you're doing. I'm watching your posts, and I knew it too. I'm like, that girl is going to be doing something really major and different, and it's coming. So
glad. So you guys, for your questions or podcast topics and ideas, send us an email to bride1@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. I am as Bride and Fit by Tatiana on Facebook. Instagram is Bride and Fit 1. And Christina, share your social media.
So personal page is Christina Hart. And I have a private page about activewear called Actively Ever After. And that's also my Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, we're also on TikTok. Yeah,
we're going to do it. When I see you, we're going to do it together.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for taking the time to listen. And don't forget to share, like, and support. Have a wonderful day. Much love. Tati.